We're going to be in Matthew chapter 15 this morning in your Bibles. Vamos a estar en Mateo capítulo 15 esta mañana en sus Biblias. Today's message is entitled Crumbs from Heaven. El título de hoy es Migajas del Cielo. Migajas del Cielo. And we're going to see that Jesus, after a long time of ministry and teaching and even arguing with the religious leaders about the scriptures or concerning the scriptures because they didn't understand it, they were tired, and so Jesus said, "We're going on a retreat. Okay, we're going on a retreat. We're going to take a rest." Vamos a ver que Jesús, después de mucho tiempo de ministerio, ¿verdad? De enseñar, de sanar, de tener argumentos y instrucción y desacuerdos con los líderes de Israel sobre las escrituras. Después de ese tiempo dijo, ya estamos cansados, vamos a ir a un retiro. And Jesus took his disciples, okay? And I'm just going to point out some things here on the screen. This is the region, this is Galilee, this is where Jesus was ministering most of the time. Teaching, preaching, and healing, feeding people. Aquí estaba Jesús en esta región alrededor del mar de Galilea, la mayoría del tiempo enseñando y sanando. But when he left on that retreat, he went far away from Israel. Se fue lejos de Israel. I think Israel ends right about here, okay? That's about where they ended. And he went up into this region, okay? Into the area called Tyre and Sidon, okay? That's pretty far, okay? Se fue Jesús lejos de Israel, ¿verdad? Aquí está la frontera, como este lado, pero cruzó y se fue más lejos a Tirón, o, y luego Sidón, acá arriba, ¿verdad? Y aquí es donde tuvo un encuentro. And up here in this town, he had an encounter, okay? I don't know if that's ever happened to you. When you want to go and just relax and get away, you find out, you get somehow caught up in somebody's life, okay? Or some people's lives, you know? They're either broken down, or they have an incredible need, or they had an accident. And wow, this is crazy, you know? It's happened to me a few times on trips. Me and my family. No sé si usted le ha tocado cuando sale usted en una vacación o algo así, y luego tiene un encuentro con alguien, ¿verdad? Que tiene una necesidad, un accidente o algo pasa y como que Dios nos mete en otra dirección por un tiempo, por un momento, ¿verdad? Esto es lo que le pasó a Jesús. Let me tell you a little bit about Tyre and Sidon because we're gonna realize the significance, okay? Let me back up here. This area, brothers, is also known as Canaan, okay? Is also known as Canaan. Remember the beginning when Moses brought the people of Israel out of Egypt and eventually came out of the wilderness and Joshua brought them into the land and they fought with the Canaanites and either wiped them out or removed them from this area because God had judged these people as extremely sinful, and that was part of their judgment. They were going to be wiped out, and it happened many hundreds of years before Jesus came. Esta área de abajo era donde vivían los cananeos antes, y vinieron los Israel y pelearon con ellos, ¿verdad? Y quitaron el pueblo de los cananeos aquí. Pero esta región también de arriba eran considerados cananeos. Yeah? These were also Canaanites, and you'll see why. We'll see it in the scriptures in a moment, because the one woman that he says that she was a Canaanite. Okay, so Canaanites still lived. Okay, but they were up here in the north. Acá estaban también los cananeos en el norte. And so let's move on to our main point, brothers, here, and we're going to see how God. let's look at the main title. Yeah, the main title says, God is often drawn to dark places to reveal His glory. Okay? Primero vamos a ver este principio importante, hermanos, que en el punto número uno, que Dios es atraído a lo espiritualmente oscuro para revelar su gloria. And of course, Sidon and Tyre were also considered a spiritual darkness, a place of spiritual darkness. They didn't have the God of Israel there. They didn't have they didn't know, they weren't taught. And so they had idols, they worshiped idols.
Esa región de arriba era un lugar espiritualmente oscuro porque allí adoraban ídolos, dioses falsos. Y pues el pueblo tenía muy poco entendimiento del Dios de Israel.
They had a little bit of understanding about, in the south where Israel was, about the God of Israel. But they had enough. You know why they had enough? Because it was a trade route that went all the way up to Sidon and Tyre, because they had an incredible port there from which ships would come in with loaded with goods and things like that, from which they would then buy and then bring it into Israel as well. So merchants would, Jewish merchants would bring in the knowledge of the Lord. Okay, pilgrims who came from other countries to worship in Israel would go sometimes through there as well. So they had an understanding about the God of Israel.
Tenemos que entender que allí en Sidón, arriba y Tiro, era un lugar también donde pasaban la gente que venía para hacer comercio. Judíos pasaban por allí y traían la palabra también, el entendimiento del Señor. Peregrinos venían también a adorar en Israel, ¿verdad? En Jerusalén, y pasaban también por ahí.
So they had enough understanding, okay? And so here, God, he says, you know what? I'm going to send my son up north. They all think they're on a retreat, but I have also a mission for them.
Me imagino Dios diciendo en sí mismo, voy a mandar mi hijo para el norte. Él cree que, ellos creen que van en un retiro, pero yo también tengo algo que tienen que hacer.
And so they went up there, right? They went up there. And notice, Jesus' retreat brought him to a region of spiritual darkness. And notice what they found in verse 21.
Aquí en este retiro hallaron algo especial. Jesus went away from there, it says there, and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman, there it is, from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed."
Y luego dice aquí lo que pasó saliendo Jesús de allí. Se retiró a la región de Tiro y de Sidón. Y allí, y aquí una mujer cananea. Ahí está. Era cananea. Eran considerados cananeos allí, ¿verdad? Toda esa región. Cananea que había salido de aquella comarca. Dice, comenzó a gritar diciendo, Señor, hijo de David, ten misericordia de mí, mi hija está terriblemente endemoniada.
It's hard to understand how a child can be demon possessed.
Es duro entender cómo un niño puede ser endemoniado.
It's understood that man has a natural resistance as barriers against random demon possession. We have God has put up some barriers in our conscience, okay, that resists just any demon just want willy nilly want to come into a person.
Entendemos que Dios nos ha dado a nosotros unas barreras psicológicas espirituales que los demonios no pueden cuando le da la gana entrar a cualquier persona.
They can go into animals. Yes, they don't have that. They're not made in the image of God like we are.
Like when Jesus sent the legion into the herd of pigs, right? But how is it that a child then can be demon-possessed?
¿Cómo puede ser que un niño pueda ser endemoniado?
There is also the issue of authority. Parents can grant authority to have their children possessed.
And sometimes they don't even know what they're doing.
They don't even know what they're doing.
And in these temples where they worship, there was a lot of demonic activity in those pagan temples. And there were manifestations. And that's why they thought their gods were real, because there were these demonic manifestations that showed up and things like that. And they thought their religion was genuine.
Miramos, ¿cómo puede ser entonces que le puede entrar a un niño? Pues ahí la cosa de la autoridad. Un padre puede, sin saber, darle autoridad a los demonios a que tomen un niño de ellos, a que se endemonee. ¿Eh?
Y muchas veces en sus religiones paganas, ahí en los templos, se manifiestan los demonios y en veces hacen votos. Y si tú haces eso y abren la autoridad para que tomen uno de sus hijos. Sometimes they make vows to their false gods, you know. And they want payment if they do something. They want payment. And it's often a child. Not all the time. But if they have a child, they'll want that child to have a place to live in. And so that's a possibility to kind of explain maybe why a child would be demon possessed. A lo mejor la posibilidad por cual un niño puede ser endemoniado. So here we go. So that's her need. That's what she says, okay? Now, another thing. The Sidonian woman, first thing she asks for is mercy. That's the first thing. She, right at the top of the list. Okay? La primera cosa que ella pide a Jesús es misericordia, hermanos. Ten misericordia de mí. Have mercy on me. Now, she didn't say give me justice, meaning that she wants a wrong to be righted, you know? No pidió por justicia. She asked for mercy. And you know what mercy means? It's in essence saying, please do not give me what I deserve. Have mercy. Don't give me what I deserve. Ellas, cuando uno está pidiendo misericordia, es como si uno está diciéndole a Dios o a una persona, por favor, no me des lo que merezco. Esa es misericordia. When we go to God and ask for mercy, we say, God, I'm a sinner. Please don't give me what I deserve. I've broken your laws. I broke your commandments. I've sinned against others. Don't give me what I deserve. Have mercy. Yeah. Igualmente cuando vamos a Dios y le pedimos misericordia, Señor, no me dé lo que merezco. Soy un pecador. Yo merezco los males que me vienen. Pero ten misericordia. Any of you need mercy? ¿Alguno de ustedes necesita misericordia? Mercy from the Lord. The Lord God who made you. El Dios que te hizo. ¿Necesita misericordia? Yeah. If I understood that, brothers, I'd complain less about the things that come into my life, you know, and say, realize, you know, I probably deserve this. You know, I live in an imperfect life before the Lord. So, yeah, it's a very needed thing among humans, is mercy. But she was confessing, brothers, that's something important in that statement. Because of what's happening to my daughter, have mercy on me. I'm getting what I deserve. She did something. It doesn't say what she did. She did something. She knows that affected her daughter. And she needed mercy. La mujer cananea está confesando con esta declaración de lo que está pidiendo. Que ella hizo algo que el cual afectó a su niña, el cual le pide a Dios misericordia. Le pide a Jesús que tenga misericordia de ella. Oh yeah, that was a confession, brothers. And confession is good for the soul. Es una confesión y la confesión es buena para el alma, hermanos. Es buena para el alma. And also we see, not only was she confessing, brothers, but that she knew much about Jesus based on what she called him. Y también miramos que la mujer Sidonia sabía mucho acerca de Jesús. Notice that what she calls him here, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, Son of David. She was calling him the Messiah. She was calling him the Messiah. Miramos claramente, ella sabía que él lo llama Señor, Hijo de David. Ese es un título mesiánico, hermanos. Le estaba diciendo, tú eres el Mesías, you are the Messiah. How did she know? ¿Cómo supo ella? Well, all the stories of people coming out of Galilee and going up to Sidon and Tyre. The news got there, brother. There's a man out there down south who's healing people. Everybody thinks he's the Messiah, the Son of David. Healing people, the blind, the lame, casting out demons. And what? Casting out demons. And immediately her hopes shot up into the air. And she began to hope, if I could only see this man. If I could only see, how could I? He's so far away. How could I even get down there with my daughter? Me imagino, hermanos, que la sabía mucho, sabía que él era el Mesías, ¿verdad? Con ese título. Pero, hermanos, ¿cómo supo ella? Pues las historias, todos los jueces estaban subiendo de la gente que venía del sur, hermanos, y decían, hay un hombre allá que está sanando los ciegos, levantando también muertos, ¿verdad? Y los cojos caminando, echando fuera demonios. ¿Y cómo que demonio? ¿De veras? Y allí la esperanza empezó a nacer en esa mujer, hermanos. Y empezó ella a imaginarse, ¿cómo podré yo un día ver este hombre? ¿Cómo puedo ir tan lejos con mi hija? She didn't have to. God knew. God brought his son to her. Pero Dios sabía su necesidad. ¿Eh? Dios trajo a su hijo a la oscuridad a revelar la luz de su gloria. He brought his son into the darkness, brothers, up north to reveal the light of his glory. Yeah. And one day, brothers, she was in town and she saw a man and people starting to gather and point at him. And then she said, who's that? What? 1, 2, 5? Could that be 12? That's him. Jesus of Nazareth and his 12 disciples here in Sidon.
Y un día la mujer, me imagino, estaba en el mercado y miró que venía un hombre y con un montón de hombres atrás de él. Y la gente empezó a apuntar a él y decía, a lo mejor él es Jesús. Empezó a él a ver y luego a contar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 12.
Oye, aquí vino Jesús. Jesus is in town. Jesús está en la ciudad.
Yeah. But it's not just enough to know who Jesus is. It's not enough to believe that he exists. And we're going to see that, okay? We're going to see it. Because she tells him what her need is.
Ella le dice cuál es su necesidad, pero no es suficiente solo saber quién es Jesús. Que él es el Hijo de Dios, que él es el Mesías. No es suficiente saber eso.
What did she need?
Okay? ¿Qué más necesitaba ella?
Well, sometimes God does not answer our plea and for a good reason, okay? Sometimes God delays answering our plea, but for a good reason. That's something that's true at all times that people come and pray to God.
Hay veces que Dios no responde a nuestra súplica, pero por una buena razón. Se deleita en contestarnos, pero por una buena razón.
And that's where a lot of people go and make the mistake, the error of believing, well, God's just evil. I asked him. He didn't answer.
That's an error, brothers, because God has a good reason. And sometimes we depart and we stop moving forward in this area of asking the Lord. We stop because we say, well, God doesn't care. God is not love. God is not real. And we will never get what we need.
Hay muchas personas que dejan de seguir y pedirle al Señor porque viene la conclusión erróneamente que Dios no tiene buena razón por cual no nos contesta. Quizás Dios no es bueno, tan bueno como yo creí. Quizás Dios ni siquiera existe. Y dejan de pedir y nunca reciben lo que necesitaban.
But there is always a good reason. Siempre hay una buena razón. We're going to see it, brothers, here. We're going to see it here.
Notice what happened here in verse 23 and 24. In versículo 23 and 24, Jesus says here that, but he did not answer her a word, brothers. Can you imagine that? She's the only one in town that knows who he is. Jesus, Lord, Son of David, my little girl. And he doesn't answer. He's got to have a good reason. He doesn't answer her a word.
Dice aquí, pero él, Jesús, no le respondió palabra. Nada. Como que la ignoró, hermanos, después de que era la única que sabía quién era en esa ciudad. Señor, hijo de David, mi hija, por favor. Y él la ignoró. He didn't say anything. Let's go on. ¿Qué más dice?
And his disciples, she must have kept bugging him. She turned to the disciples now. He says, and the disciples then came and implored him, saying, send her away because she keeps shouting after us. It's embarrassing, Lord. It's embarrassing. Come on, do something here, you know.
Y luego dice, acercándose sus discípulos, le rogaban, diciendo, atiéndela, pues viene gritando tras nosotros, Señor. Nos da vergüenza. Haz algo, Señor.
Verse 24. But he answered and said, probably loud enough for her to hear, okay? I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
That mission speak, saying, my job is to minister to the Jewish people. That's why I was sent.
That's not completely true over the long run. He did send his disciples to make disciples of all the nations. But his personal mission was the Jewish people, who were supposed to be his people, but they're the ones that turned around and gave him up for crucifixion, according to God's plan. According to God's plan. It wasn't like a surprise. That's what God wanted, in order so that he could pay for our sin.
Y luego respondió él, le dijo, no sé, he sido enviado sino a las ovejas perdidas de la casa de Israel. Esa es la misión de Jesús, hermanos. No fue mandado, Jesús no nació para ir a predicarle a los gentiles, pero a los judíos, ¿eh? A los judíos, el pueblo de Dios en ese tiempo. ¿Eh?
That was true, fue cierto.
Now what happens? Now what happens? Okay, let's, what goes on? What happens next? So we see here, Jesus did not answer her. Jesús no le respondió. Question is, why did Jesus first reject her plea? ¿Por qué entonces fue Jesús que primeramente, al principio, rechazó su petición? ¿Por qué? We don't know until the end, brothers, of their encounter, why he did it. You got to go to the very end to find out why he did, why he rejected her at the beginning. No sabemos al principio por qué la rechazó su petición, pero hasta el fin de su encuentro miramos lo que pasó. ¿Eh? So I'm going to give you the answer ahead of time. Le voy a dar entonces la respuesta de tiempo. Jesus wanted to draw out the fullness of her faith. Okay? Because it wasn't enough just to know who he was. Okay? It wasn't enough. Okay? That was faith. But he wanted to draw the fullness of her potential. Okay? The fullness of her potential. Sí, dice Jesús quería sacar a brillar la plenitud de su fe, hermanos. Sí demostró poca fe en venir claramente a Jesús y declarar quién era, pero le faltaba mucho. It's kind of like an engine, brothers. Yeah, you can get an engine running. Doesn't mean it's going to run good. You got to bring out its horsepower by tuning it up. By tuning it up, you got to draw out that horsepower, the fullness of it, okay? And just like a master mechanic, Jesus, brothers, he was trying to pull out the fullness of her faith that she had. Así como un mecánico, hermanos, que hace andar un motor, pero no quiere que decir que el motor va a andar bien. ¿Eh? Va a tronar, va a fallar, pero que un mecánico trata de darle el tune, ¿cómo le dicen en español? Sí, de ajustar el carburador y todo para que salga todo la fuerza de caballos que tiene ese motor, ¿verdad? Así Jesús estaba él tratando de sacar la plenitud de toda su fe que ella tenía, de que ella tenía. So there's an application for us, but as we look at this and we look at our own lives and when we pray to God, aquí también podemos aplicarlo a nosotros cuando le pedimos a Dios en ciertas ocasiones que tenemos necesidad, okay? And we might have to say, but perhaps God is challenging us or me to exercise more faith when it appears that he resists my pleas to him, okay? He's delaying in order to put action to my faith. Sometimes it's more than just believing. Sometimes we got to do something to show the faith. We got to go out and show that we believe, that we do love him, that we do follow him. Well, show it, the Lord is saying. Show it. Para aplicación, tal vez Dios nos está desafiando nosotros a tener más fe, demostrar más fe, cuando parece que Él resiste nuestras súplicas, hermanos. Cuando no está contestando, cuando estamos pidiendo y decimos que creemos, pero, hermanos, quizás Dios está diciendo, quiero que le pongas patas a la fe y demuestra que crees. Show that you believe. Show that you believe. And sometimes we don't want to get out of our seat. Oh, Lord, I believe. Well, get up and show it. Obey me. Huh? Obey me. That's how we show our faith, right? So in case you might be praying and the God isn't answering yet, this might be a reason. En caso que a lo mejor usted está pidiendo algo en oración y Dios todavía no está contestando, quizás esta es la razón. Ask like the man who had that demon-possessed son and his disciples weren't able to cast it out. And he says, anything is possible to him who believes, Jesus said. And the man said, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. Maybe we just ask for more faith. Give me more faith. Show me what to do. Quizás le tenemos que decir al Señor, dame más fe, Señor, demuéstrame qué debo de hacer. ¿Qué debo de hacer para demostrarte que yo creo? Oh, yeah, God wants to bring out the fullness of your faith and my faith to shine and blaze, brothers. It pleases the Lord. He loves people who believe in him and what he can do. ¿Eh? Dios quiere sacar también de nosotros la grandeza de la fe que está en el interior, que nunca todavía ha nacido, no ha subido a la superficie, hermanos. Y Él quiere sacarla para afuera. So that's probably, brothers, exactly what the Lord was doing with this woman. Lo que Dios estaba haciendo con esta mujer. Now let her see, brothers. Let's see what he says here. See, this cause, when Jesus said, you know, I was sent only to the lost house of the, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This caused the woman to humble herself to the Lord. Okay? She took a step now. Okay? And she got on her knees and bowed this time before the Lord. Esto hizo, esto es lo que Jesús dijo, que estoy solo, voy a las ovejas perdidas de la casa de Israel. Hizo que la mujer se humillara ante el Señor. Verse 25, but she came and began to bow before him, saying, Lord, help me, help me, help me. Pero dice, sí, acercándose, ella se postró, hermanos. Ahora ahí está la humillación. Se postró ante él, diciendo, Señor, socórreme. She says, Lord, I got nobody but you to help me. I've had doctors and temple priests and stuff like that trying to help my daughter. They can't do a thing. And from what I've heard, only you can. From what I've heard, only you can do this. Y aquí ella está declarando, yo no tengo nadie más que me pueda ayudar, Señor. Solo me quedas tú. ¿Eh? Yo he ido a los sacerdotes del templo, aquí, el templo local, y ellos no hicieron nada, no pusieron hacer nada. Pero yo sé que tú puedes. Ayúdame, ayúdame. So, and the humility, brothers, can greatly move the hand of God in our direction. Sabemos que la humildad puede mover la mano de Dios en nuestra dirección. There's some promises that God has made about the humble. Hay ciertas promesas que Dios ha hecho de los humildes. 1 Peter chapter 5, en 1 de Pedro 5, we have there a promise. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace means gifts, okay? Gifts that are not deserved. Okay? Gives gifts to the humble. It says, humble yourselves. There's the commandment. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, not when you want it, but at the proper time, he may exalt you. He may raise you up out of the mire of your tribulations. And casting all your anxieties on him, just like she did. All your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. All your anxieties. She had no one left. It was only Jesus. Sometimes we got to get to that point. Well, I could go to church and I could seek the Lord. But you know what? I got some other options over here. You know, I'm going to try these. I'm going to look up on the internet. Maybe I can find some help there, you know, and go to the Lord. Hay veces, dice muy claramente aquí, 1 Pedro 5, porque Dios resiste a los soberbios, pero da gracia a los humildes. Humillaos pues bajo la poderosa mano de Dios, para que Él os exalte a su debido tiempo. Y ahí está donde la gente no espera. A su debido tiempo, Él nos va a exaltar de las tribulaciones, echando toda vuestra ansiedad sobre Él, como ella lo hizo, porque Él tiene cuidado de vosotros. ¿Eh? Echando toda vuestra ansiedad sobre Él. Y muchas veces no llegamos a ese punto cuando podemos poner toda la ansiedad sobre el Señor. Vamos buscando por acá ayuda y por este fulano o por el internet a ver si puedo sacar aquí un dinerito o ayuda por allá. Vaya al Señor y ponga toda la ansiedad sobre Él, ¿eh? Como dice aquí. And so, there's a promise for the humble, but at the proper time. At the proper time. Hay una promesa para los humildes, pero a su debido tiempo. And it's almost here. The time is almost here to get her exalted, okay? It's almost here. Point number three. Punto tres. What happens? Jesus now begins to draw out the greatness of her faith. Ahora empieza él a sacar la grandeza de la fe de la mujer, hermanos. He places common sense argument before her, okay? Another little obstacle. A common sense argument he puts before. Le presenta un argumento de sentido común sobre la mujer, como un obstáculo sobre enfrente de ella. Let's see what he says, verse 26, versículo 26. He says, and he answered her, okay? After she said, please help me, Lord. He answered, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. It was a common saying, okay? Don't be wasteful. Don't take the children's bread. It is good not to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Stop right there. Dice aquí, y respondió y le dijo, esta declaración que era un dicho era, no es, está bien tomar el pan de los hijos y echárselo a los perrillos. No es bueno hacer eso, ¿verdad? Todos dirían, pues claro que sí, ¿verdad? Tus hijos vienen primero. Everybody would say, yeah, of course, your sons come first. You don't feed the dogs, but you feed your children. You feed your children. And so, notice what she said. But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their masters."
Y ella dijo en el 27, pero ella dijo, "Sí, Señor, pero también los perrillos comen de las migajas que caen de la mesa de sus amos."
So first of all, brothers, we hear the woman believed that even God had crumbs for her, that God had crumbs enough for her and her daughter. That was her faith.
Ella creía, hermano, la mujer creía con toda su fe que también Dios tenía migajas para ella. Migajas que caían de la mesa de Dios.
Era suficiente para eso.
Now, let's just talk about what that answer meant, okay? What that caused, what dilemma that caused, not anticipated dilemma for Jesus. Because he knew how to get out of this common saying, okay?
Era una situación que Jesús esperaba, ella que era la única salida que ella tenía, decir algo como esto.
See, number one, brothers, Jesus was morally obligated to give her the miracle when she said that.
We'll see why. Jesús estaba en ese momento moralmente obligado de darle el milagro, hermanos, basado en lo que dijo la mujer.
¿Por qué?
Because Jesus would later, or before that, we don't know when when he taught this, he made a similar teaching to the Jewish people about Lazarus, the poor man Lazarus, and the rich who had an encounter. Okay?
¿Se acuerdan? Jesús también había enseñado antemano o después de Lázaro el pobre y el hombre rico que tuvieron un encuentro.
Okay? And Lazarus was just so poor, brothers, that he was starving and he was sick.
Lázaro, un hombre que era tan pobre que se estaba muriendo de hambre y estaba malo también al mismo tiempo.
Now notice what happened here in Luke chapter 16 verse 20 when Jesus taught this. Okay,
cuando Jesús enseñó esto en Lucas 16, notice what it says, and a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, the rich man's gate, covered with sores and longing to be fed with what? With the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table.
Ah, wow.
Yeah? And besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores.
Then the next verse says that Lazarus went on to die. And the angels came and took him away.
The rich man died and he went to hell.
Okay.
Because of his heartless response to the need of this poor man. He went to hell.
Dice aquí, un hombre, Jesús enseñó, llamado Lázaro, yacía a su puerta cubierto de llagas, ansiando saciarse de las migajas. Ahí está la comparación. Las migajas que caían de la mesa del rico.
Yeah.
Además, hasta los perros venían y lamían las llagas.
Y luego el siguiente versículo dice que él se murió.
Al tiempo, pronto se murió Lázaro y los ángeles vinieron por él, se lo llevaron.
Y luego después murió el rico. Y él fue al infierno, porque la manera que respondió a la necesidad de este hombre causó su muerte indirectamente.
Yeah. So if Jesus did not give her the crumbs of heaven, brothers, then he would become the heartless rich man himself.
Mm.
Entonces miramos aquí, yeah. Lógicamente, si Jesús no le daba las migajas del cielo,
yeah.
El milagro, entonces se convertiría él como el hombre rico que no tenía compasión.
Te estaba obligado.
Jesus was obligated, or he would be the rich man, the heartless rich man.
Él sería el hombre sin corazón, el hombre rico, si no le daba a él las migajas, los milagros del cielo.
Wow.
She got him.
Checkmate.
Checkmate.
Okay.
And Jesus loved it.
Jesus loved it.
Jesús se encantó cuando le dijo esto.
Se encantó.
Because he had brought the fullness of her faith.
Ah,
porque le había sacado el brillo de su fe afuera.
Notice point C. Jesus now rewards the greatness of her faith.
Ahora Jesús recompensa la grandeza de su fe.
Verse 28, the last verse.
El último versículo, Jesús aquí está recompensando la grandeza de su fe. Oh, mujer. Oh, woman, he starts. Oh, woman, huh? Your faith is great, he says. It shall be done for you as you wish.
and her daughter was healed at once. Okay. That demon said, bye bye. I can't stay here no longer.
Entonces, en el versículo 8, Jesús dice, le dijo, oh mujer, grande es tu fe, que te suceda como deseas. Y su hija quedó sana desde aquel momento.
And that word, oh, brothers, it's an expression of emotional surprise.
Of emotional surprise. Even Jesus, whoa, that was even more than I thought.
When her faith responded in this way.
Esa palabra, oh, hermanos, representa, es una expresión de emoción, de sorpresa, hermanos. Oh, mujer, como que Jesús aún responde. La mujer pudo sorprender a Jesús y como Jesús dijo, ¡ay, no esperaba tanta fe! En la manera que respondiste.
Oh, man.
It even surprised God. Hasta sorprendió a Dios, hermanos, esta fe.
She believed God's crumbs were worth much more than what mere humans could deliver.
Just give me the crumbs. Just give me your glorious crumbs. Are more than enough.
Esta mujer, hermanos, creía que las migajas de Dios eran de más precio, de más valor que cualquier humano pueda darle a ella. Y ella estaba diciendo, ay Señor, solo las migajas, tus gloriosas migajas, es más que suficiente para mis necesidades.
And sometimes, brothers, that challenges us when we don't believe that God will answer, that God will want to answer, that we go somewhere else first.
Y muchas veces nosotros no creemos que Dios tiene más que suficiente para nosotros y vamos a otros lugares primero antes de venir al Señor.
And we know, brothers, we know she was a Canaanite.
Y entendemos que ella era una cananea, hermanos, que no era hija de Dios todavía. She wasn't even a child of God yet.
And yet us, in Christ, we are not spiritual Canaanites. We are children of God.
As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name, right? That's us. We're now adopted children of God.
Y nosotros que somos adoptados hijos de Dios, porque hemos creído en Jesús, hermanos, ¿cuánto más no nos dará Dios que migajas?
Won't God give more than just crumbs to his actual?
Yes.
So, he rewards the greatness of her faith. And there's some principles.
Hay unos principios aquí que debemos entender. Number one, God rewards those who believe. Que Dios recompensa a los que creen.
For without faith it is impossible to please God, it says in Hebrews.
For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, that he's a rewarder of those who seek him.
And she came, brothers, and she believed in Jesus, that she knew God would reward her, and she hung in there. She didn't quit. She didn't stop. She didn't faint, brother. She kept going, and God rewarded her faith.
Dios recompensa a los que creen, porque sin fe es imposible agradar a Dios, dice la Escritura. Porque el que viene a Dios debe creer que Él existe y que es el remunerador de los que creen en Él. ¿Eh? Él recompensa, Él da. Y ella vino así, hermanos.
Now, second principle that stands out here is that great faith is forged in our temporary trials.
Great faith is forged. Jesus was forging, brothers, forging the faith of that woman, brothers, until it was ready.
And that's what he's doing with us. We just got to notice it. That's what's happening.
El segundo principio es este, hermanos, que la fe grande es forjada en las tribulaciones temporáneas de nuestras vidas. Es forjada como un fierro, hermanos, caliente. Y Jesús estaba forjando la fe de esa mujer, hermanos, hasta que empezó a brillar como debía.
Yeah. Y muchas veces es lo que está haciendo Dios con nosotros.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't want to leave you where you're at. Me, where I'm at.
No nos quiere dejar donde estamos ahorita. Él quiere engrandecer nuestra fe. He wants to grow our faith.
He wants to grow our faith. This is a wonderful verse here in 1 Peter 1. It talks about that. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, according to God, if it's necessary, God will do it, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's why he wants great faith. He wants to forge great faith in each of his children. Yeah?
Dice, aunque ahora, dice 1 Pedro 1:6, por un poco de tiempo, si es necesario, ¿quién decide?
Dios.
Si es necesario, Dios decide. Seas afligido con diversas pruebas, para que la prueba de vuestra fe, más preciosa que el oro, que perece, aunque probado por fuego, sea hallado, ¿cuál? La fe, sea hallado que resulta en alabanza, gloria y honor en la revelación de Jesucristo, cuando Jesús regrese. Por eso Jesús está forjando gran fe en cada uno de nosotros. Que sea preciosa y grande para cuando Él venga. ¿Eh? Great faith. I hope you start to think, maybe I need to start praying, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to trust in you and believe in you. Help me cooperate with you. ¿Eh? Quizás estamos pensando, Señor, que, ay, engrandece mi fe entonces, Señor. No me dejes donde estoy. No me dejes donde estoy. For application, God, will God not then give much more than crumbs to his own children who believe? Okay. That should be an amen. Amen. That should be an amen. La pregunta entonces para nosotros es esta, hermanos. ¿No dará Dios mucho más que migajas a sus propios hijos que creen? Claro que sí. Claro que sí. Te va a dar más que migajas. Solo creer. Creer con todo tu corazón. ¿Eh? Con todo tu corazón. Yes, sometimes it feels like we're the dogs receiving the crumbs, and the world is the one who's reaping the feast and the abundance and the privilege. And me, a child of God, Lord, help, send me some crumbs. Sometimes it feels like that, you know. En veces se siente que nosotros somos como los perros, vea, recibiendo las migajas, y el mundo está sentado en la mesa cosechando una gran cantidad de comida y privilegio, y nosotros estamos diciendo, ay Señor, dame unas migajas. Yes, these are crumbs compared to the glories that is going to be revealed to us when Jesus returns, the blessings that we're getting now. They are like crumbs compared to what awaits us, brothers, when the Lord returns. Y es cierto, hermanos, que las migajas de este tiempo son, no pueden ser comparadas a las glorias y la abundancia que hay en Cristo cuando Él regrese por nosotros. Yeah, that's true, brothers. That's the only way to grow our faith. Okay. If you have everything you need, you don't need faith anymore. Okay? But He wants faith, great faith. Y por eso, hermanos, está forjando Dios la fe. Si tenemos todo lo que queremos ahorita, no hay necesidad de fe. De engrandecer la fe. Pero Dios quiere gran fe. Porque va a venir la abundancia un día cuando regrese Jesús. So, let us ask the Lord. Let us ask the Lord. Whatever your need is, let's start asking the Lord. Cualquier que sea tu necesidad, vamos a pedir al Señor. Let's all stand. Vamos a ponernos de pie. What do you need right now? ¿Qué necesitas ahorita? Well, brothers, hopefully you're not saying, I want to stay a spiritual Canaanite. You're not saying that, but you say, Lord, I want to become a full-blown child of God who sits at your table, who knows that you're his father, that you're my father, and be with you forever and ever. Maybe you got to make a choice now, today, to accept Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Quizás estás diciendo hoy, ojalá estás diciendo, yo no quiero ser un cananeo espiritual, pero yo quiero ser un hijo completo, adoptado de Dios, que se sienta en la mesa de su padre. Tienes que aceptar a Cristo como tu Señor y Salvador. Let's all bow our heads. Well, Father God, thank you so much for the word. Thank you for the incredible faith of this woman. Thank you for the mercy, that you're a God of mercy who would go all the way to a space of spiritual darkness to seek out that one person who had that need, who knew who you were, and receive the abundance of your crumbs. Thank you. Gracias, Señor, que nos enseñas esta mañana la grandeza de tu misericordia. Que eres un Dios misericordioso, que vas a lo lejos, a lo oscuro, a buscar esa alma que sabe de ti, que tiene una necesidad. And Lord, we have needs today, Lord, as well. We have needs, Lord. Each of us has a different need. And we come to you, Lord Jesus, and say, help me, Lord, Son of David. Help me today. Y nosotros venimos a ti igualmente con necesidades y decimos en nuestro corazón, ve, ayúdame, Señor, por favor, Hijo de David. We don't have no one else, Lord, who can do what you can do. No hay nadie más que pueda hacer lo que tú haces. Ayúdanos. Sálvanos, Señor. Save us today, Lord. Forgive and cleanse us, for we need mercy. Perdónanos y límpianos, porque necesitamos nosotros misericordia. Increase our faith, so that it would shine like you want it to. Y engrandece nuestra fe, Señor, para que brille como tú quieres que brille. Para cuando tú llegas, Señor, te agrade grandemente. Oh, Lord, Thank you, Father, for that you know our needs, but you're waiting, but that's not enough. You want us to come to you. You want us to humble ourselves. You want us, Lord, to cleave to you, Lord, because you are good. And you, Lord, minister to your children.
Y también gracias, Señor, que tú ministras a nuestras necesidades. Las conoces, pero no suficiente. Gracias que tenemos que ir a ti, Señor, saber y pedirte y humillarnos y no soltarte, Señor, hasta que recibamos, Señor, la migaja.
We ask this in Jesus' name, en el nombre de Jesús. And God's people say, amen. Amen.